voting machines that are connected to the internet, and you've got super advanced AI that can potentially affect those machines, I think that's very dangerous. So what I'm saying is that I'm only someone who favors technology. I'm super, 21st century technology boy right here. And I'm saying no machines for voting. Yeah.
Elon is doing more than just creating the future tech for winning elections. He's also drawing attention to what many consider to be the single most important issue for Trump and elected Republicans, and that is securing our elections. Now, as we approach the midterm elections, the specter of electoral fraud, as always, looms larger than ever. The urgency is palpable. Without immediate action, voter integrity hangs in the balance, and chaos can ensue at the polls in the future. But who's allowing this to happen? Well, unfortunately, it's the ones who benefit, namely the political establishment, the very ones we elect, ironically, to safeguard our democracy. They're the ones, the very same ones, who are dragging their feet on meaningful voting reform. They buried their heads in the sand, dismissing claims of fraud as baseless rhetoric while ignoring the reality that sits at our doorstep. This denial is not just dangerous, it's a betrayal of the very citizens they claim to serve. The fallout from this negligence has been disastrous. Citizens are rightfully outraged as we witness deliberate attempts to manipulate election outcomes, especially significant in an era of misinformation. So what can President Trump and our elected Republicans do about this? Well, back with us today is our good friend Seth Keschel. Many of you know Seth predicted the 2024 election with stunning accuracy. He's done a number of well-deserved victory laps, and he has incredible insight in what Trump can do now to impact election reform. And he already has projections on what the map is looking like for 2026. Seth, welcome back. Great to have you as always.
Dr. Steve, it's good to run with you again. Obviously, we made some storms before the election and wound up that everything turned out correctly. We also did the victory lap afterwards, so it's good to be back on in the new year.
Yeah, what were you? We were talking about it earlier. 56 out of 56 in your projections.
50 states, Washington D.C., then the five split electoral votes of Maine and Nebraska. 56 for 56. Trump 312, Harris 226, and there will be a new challenge coin.
It's so awesome because a lot of people have been telling me they can't wait for my midterm analysis. They really enjoy coming to this channel for that analysis, but they all say it's because of who I bring on. It's these election modelers, it's these pollsters and so forth. Yourself, Rich Barris, of course, Mark Mitchell of Rasmussen. You guys are the gold standard. God bless you guys. You are and you've earned it. No, CNN won't give you the time of day, but we do. So I get compliments, and I can just say to you, you are the reason why I get those compliments, and I make sure everybody recognizes that. Before we even start, I want everyone to click on the link below and subscribe to Seth's Substack. It is awesome. You're producing articles, what, 2-3 times a week? It's you've got all kinds of data. Guys, make sure you're subscribing to Seth's Substack. It is gold. You're going to love it. You're going to need it for the midterms big time. So Elon Musk, he's recently emphasized the risks of using technology like electronic voting machines due to their vulnerability of being hacked with advanced AI and the like. So how do you see these technological concerns aligning with your own findings on election integrity, and what specific reforms do you think Trump should prioritize to address this?
The electronic component, I refer to it as the electronic elections infrastructure rather than just simply the machines. It's part of the entire portfolio of problems related to our elections. And in fact, on my 10 points to true election integrity, I've listed ban all electronic voting systems as my second priority. It's a huge deal. Now, people that already believe elections are manipulated, you don't need to sell them on electronic components. being part of, you know, what needs to be gotten rid of. People that don't believe elections are manipulated at this point probably never will. But ultimately, there's about 10% of the electorate that still need to be persuaded one way or another, because there's also the risk now that Trump won. Forget the down ballot races for a minute. Now that Donald Trump won and went back to the White House, some people might have just thought 2020 was just a bad dream. So the electronics component, the selling point is it offers no transparency in our elections. You have to trust that this black box voting system is transmitting the results accurately, that what is being taken back to the central count is the accurate expression of the will of the voters. And more times than not, we found multiple vectors of problems with electronic voting systems. Are they hackable? Yes. Do they have issues with the automatic voter registration file filling out and backdating mail-in ballots? Probably so. We're not allowed to see this. And there's also the issue of the back-end software that's used to operate these systems that nobody knows and nobody can see except for the end user. So the fact is, electronic elections are not auditable, and they do not inspire trust in elections at all. So we've shown many countries all throughout the world don't have an electronic election system. They have hand counted paper ballots, and they can count millions upon millions of ballots in a single day. If you look at Germany with 50 million ballots in their most recent election, which
I read your article on it. Yep.
Three times the ballot count of California, but without the month and a half needed to count the ballots. So Musk is correct to point out the issues here, but it's also a shallow assessment, as if to think that we get rid of computers and voting, that elections are fair again.
True. That's very, very true. Exactly. But you would definitely be an advocate for paper ballots.
Correct. But you remember the old argument about you can't get rid of Obamacare unless you replace it with something.
Right.
It was somewhat correct of a criticism. So for example, in elections, if you got rid of computer voting, but you still had automatic voter registration and universal mail-in voting or expanded mail-in voting like we have here in Arizona, then you're still going to have issues. So the blue states, the blue wall that you have, and I'm especially talking about the diehard Washington, Oregon, California, those states all have automatic voter registration. They have universal mail-in balloting. They have legalized and non-penalized ballot harvesting. And then they have weeks of the mail being out and weeks to count them on the back end. Once you have that in place, you can rig elections to your heart's content.
Yeah, in perpetuity.
As long as you can. They're not even ashamed to declare victory in December. That's how bold they are with this. But all the states that run clean elections that people trust, or cleaner than other elections. So Florida's a great example. Florida appears to have a clean trend line for president with Trump plus 13 and some change in Florida. But we're beginning to wonder if Trump should have won Florida more like 20 points, because there's some attorney, Peter Ticton being one, a close Trump associate and attorney in the Tampa area, that believes he's got a read on 475,000 ineligible mail-in ballots, which would have swung a congressional race in Tampa towards the Republicans. So if this is correct, then Florida's got almost a half a million bad mail-in ballots, even with their protections against fraud, then the sky's the limit on how much cheating is going on the blue wall, that makes you question whether there's really a blue wall at all.
Didn't they, that's brilliant. Didn't they just scrub about 600,000 voters off their rolls? Did I read that correctly in Florida?
Florida, Texas, and Iowa were all won by more than 13 points for Trump, and all three of them had major voter roll purges. So the cleaner the voter roll, the more Republican a state becomes, miraculously.
Right.
In contrast, the dirtier a voter roll, or the more polluted a voter roll, the bluer a state becomes. Perhaps the most telling statistics about the 2024 elections is the fact that Donald Trump, in states that did not have automatic voter registration, Trump won the electoral votes 248-5. Wow. The only electoral votes that Harris won in non-automatic voter registration jurisdictions was New Hampshire for 4 and Nebraska's 2nd Congressional District for 1. Trump won 248. Now, in the opposite way around, Harris won states with automatic voter registration. She won those 221-64.
Wow.
Pretty incredible.
So automatic it's obviously not coincidence. States.
Correct. And North Dakota is the only state without voter registration, and it happens to be the cleanest state in my models from 2016 to 20 to 24.
Is there any way Trump, from a federal executive perspective, can he mandate voter roll purges at all?
There is some power for the chief executive to go after corruption in this way. There's national policy about voter registration. The issue that's going to be run into is the 10th Amendment, which allows states to craft laws that are not expressly dictated by the Constitution. And what has happened is a lot of these blue states have indeed lashed onto their ability to make their own laws, and they've created a system of election law that disenfranchises other states if in the event we find that the elections are fraudulent. And one great example is it's so bad in the blue wall now that the mainstream media has to report on the cheating. So in Seattle, King County, actually Bellevue, there was a woman that received 16 mail-in ballots at her address, and she made a stink about it, and the news covered it. She's not the only person receiving tons of mail-in ballots. You got a lot of people that get two or three. Here in Arizona, the new Maricopa County recorder, Justin Heap, when he was running against Stephen Richer in the GOP primary, he made a habit to ask people at meetings how many of you picked up, got an extra ballot at your house that you shouldn't have got. And usually two-thirds of the room would raise their hands. So all these ballots add up. And the data is being sold and given out to people that go harvest the ballots in what amounts to an adult Easter egg hunt. So anywhere that has mail-in balloting on no excuse, that's allowed for anybody other than the overseas military and legitimately disabled, you're not running a legitimate, trustworthy election system.
Yeah, you mentioned my old stomping grounds where I grew up in is Connecticut. I don't know if you saw there was that woman in, I think it's Bridgeport, Connecticut. She actually got arrested a second time stuffing ballots. The blue states seem to be just the worst with it. So you've got your 10-point plan. Give us just a summary. What should we be pressing for action to be done to finally resolve this issue?
People need to be vocal with the House and with the Senate. Now, I'm not hopeful that the legislature federally is going to pass election reform. Number one, the House majority is very small. It's plus four this morning. The Democrats just had a member pass away, but it's plus five as elected, 220 to 215. So you don't have a big majority there. Somebody's going to find a reason to spike that. The Senate has Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, and Mitch McConnell. So it's a treacherous path through the legislature, even though that's the proper way. So Pete Sessions, representative from Texas, has introduced the Make Elections Secure Again Act, which I'm going to profile on my Substack tomorrow. This is a good way of going about legislation. It's very aggressive. It bans machines, for instance, limits voting, early voting to 3 days, and cuts mail-in balloting. Now, that's going to be sued by every blue state in the book as overreach, because they're going to actually go constitutional on you and cite their 10th Amendment rights.
Ironically,
this is
a
good way of going about it. So it's a good thing at least to vote on and see where the representatives stand on it. You'll be able to out a lot of people for the primaries in 2026, people that don't want to clean elections up and want to call it conspiracy talk. But people also need to be vocal with President Trump, who definitely has a bone to pick about the 2020 election and also the 24 election. He's been interviewed by Fox News, and he scoffed at the idea that Harris got 75 million votes in a losing effort. So he definitely almost seems like he's reading my Substack. And we have, to me, I think that President Trump should call for the formation of an election reform committee, and he should put the best and brightest in election reform rather than just going for one black and white solution or another. This is a death by a thousand cuts approach. And the most important piece of the election manipulation equation is the corruption of the voter roll. And this is being shown all over the place, including these blue states that you mentioned, Connecticut being one, but New Jersey another. The FBI actually did go after voter fraud in New Jersey because it had nothing to do with the presidency or a Senate race or governor's race. It was blue state Democrats going after Democrat primaries. And they were what happens is they find the data of people that sit on the voter rolls, and they go, if they're not real, they harvest up their ballots. If they are real, they buy their ballots from them, have them sign forms, pick up the mail-in ballots. And if you get a couple activists to go collect a couple hundred ballots apiece, you can swing these primaries that are going to be decided with low turnout by a couple hundred votes pretty easily.
Yeah. What effect do you think the mass deportations are going to have on election fraud?
Very little if it doesn't reflect that in the personnel file, in the voter roll.
In the data, so right.
California has had these little exposés of its automatic voter registration that show tons of non-citizens and illegal aliens that get registered to vote. Now, I personally don't believe that illegal aliens in any statistically significant number are voting. Now, okay. There's a lot of votes. There's 150 plus million votes. So, of course, there's going to be people voting illegally. That's voter fraud. That's not election fraud. Now, right. I think that the number of actual illegal aliens that are going to vote, that are willing to risk it all to get caught cheating in an election, is relatively low. I think what's right. happening is that they're being voted for. Because if they mm-hmm. exist in a database, thanks to automatic registration, and their names are on a file, whether we have electronic manipulation, auto-generating votes, and backdating the mail-in ballot request for them, or if the paper's just going out and being harvested, one of the key ingredients of this is time. Just like a recipe, if I told you to put something in the oven, I'm going to tell you how long it needs to be in there. They have 6 weeks in a lot of these states to get these ballots out and get them back in. You couldn't possibly do it in 24 hours.
Right, right. Right. Gang, just as a reminder, make sure you click on the link below. Subscribe to Seth Keschel's Substack. I'm a subscriber. You're going to love it. The information he gives you on a weekly basis is second to none. You just released your early guide to the 2026 midterms. So this is great. I love it. What are your early projections suggesting about the electoral map?
The best indicator of the future is past performance. Since mm-hmm. 1934, the beginning of a New Deal midterm. So Roosevelt swept in 32 with the New Deal platform. And then starting in 1934, we get the beginnings of what we find for political science governing midterm elections. Now, understand the House is up every 2 years, including in presidential elections. The Senate is every 6 years. So the House is going to have the same seats up every single time. But since 1934, there have been 23 midterm elections. And in 20 of those 23 elections, the president's party has lost seats in the U.S. House. There are some exceptions. The most recent exception was in 2002. You had 1934 for Roosevelt. You had 98 for Bill Clinton. And then you had 2002 for George W. Bush, in which the president's party gained seats. Why is this? It's because the base is relaxed. They've got their president in there. The other side is fired up. And then you've got a small percentage of voters who think a divided government is the safest government because it forces compromise. Now, I admire their ability to live in a utopian world, but that's just the way the political science goes. And then, of course, you compound the issues that we found in the last 10 years with our elections, and anybody's up for grabs. So the average loss for the president's party since 1934 is 27 seats. Okay. Joe Biden only lost 9 seats in 2022. Now, it was enough to flip the balance of the House, but the average loss is 27. So if the GOP loses 27 seats, you're going to be looking at a Democrat majority of 242 to 193. In the House.
Is that what you're predicting?
There's a number of issues.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to predict that. First off, it's way too early to predict the House races. The margins in the House races aren't statewide margins. They're very small. And any local factors can tip those. Now, I think that this is a very good opportunity. The GOP has a 20% approval edge over the Democrats right now. You also have party registration, like we talked about before the presidential election, which is continuing to boom for the Republican Party. Normally, when a new president comes in, you're going to see the other party starting to make gains. Now, it's too early in Trump's term, and he's still scandal-free, which Trump the man will be, but you know the administrations are always plagued by leakers and plagued by somebody who did something wrong. So there's no scandal. There's no hint of corruption, and there's no bad decisions yet. In fact, the things are going to start getting even stronger for Trump when these economic measures come through, the shock from the tariffs goes away. But we have all signs indicate that this may be one of those years where the Republican Party butts those trends. Unfortunately for the GOP, the blue states have successfully gerrymandered much of the map. The courts have sided with blue states, but against red states. Louisiana and Alabama both lost a solid red seat in recent court decisions. So where Trump could have 240 plus House seats when he was first elected, now he's at 220, even with a popular vote win. So the House max for the GOP is not as aggressive as it was a decade ago.
And
part of that is the inaction of the legislatures.
Part of your modeling that what I loved so much and why I was so happy to highlight it for our audience here leading up to November 5th, was how you use voter registration data, because you mentioned that, and how voter registration data is actually very predictive of who's going to win states and counties and so forth in presidential elections. Are you seeing a comparable pattern there with congressional races?
It's going to be manifesting in all the urban and suburban areas if the trends are continuing on. Now, the issue with the midterms is President Trump now is way more popular than any rank and file Republicans. In fact, I think the only Republican that has a higher approval rating than Donald Trump, and it depends on what poll you consult, is J.D. Vance, who is an extension of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So we have the presidential administration and the VP, of course, that are way more popular than the rank and file Republican. This is because the Republican base has picked up that the GOP is often willing to sell them up the river without a paddle. And loss of base support is how empires are lost.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, and we're seeing it in your backyard in Arizona, where you just have these Rhino Republicans, establishment Republicans, where, you know, Trump is running away with it. Ironically, Republican registrations are running away with it in Arizona, and yet seems like Republicans are still struggling there because they've just so betrayed their voter. I've just never known an establishment that just so hates their voter like the Republican, the Mitch McConnells and so forth. It's astonishing to me.
It's the undue influence of the lobbyists, especially in the state legislatures. The lobbyists are too influential at the state level, and they control too much money. And you can always spot, you know, my wife, Rachel Keschel, is a state representative in Arizona, and she's one of the good ones, and she's got 100% liberty voting record. And she showed me the bill list one time. And, you know, she sponsored, I think, 23 bills this session as the prime sponsor, which is more than she did last time because she's been dumped a whole lot of trust with the public in family court. So a lot of family court bills and elections bills. But last session, there were 60, 70, 80 bills for some of these Republican legislators that they had as the prime sponsor, which is just that is the opposite of limited government. It's more government. And as for the people that want to complain that Trump's not a true conservative. Look, honestly, if conservatism is limiting of government, I can't think of anything more conservative or limiting of government than eliminating entire government agencies. Yes, so who's the true conservative?
Exactly. Well said. Seth, I mentioned your Substack. Anywhere else people can find out more information on you and on election reform and your electoral predictions?
Well, if you want fake news about me, just go Google my name. Then, of course, all those top links will come up of the people that say I'm the election denying conspiracy theorist that is associated with X, Y, and Z. But then you can look up all the analysis that I've hit right on the nose. Substack is my favorite place to hang out these days. It's drama free. It's people that are the deep dive types that want to get into analytics. I'm also on the major social media platforms like Truth Social, Telegram, and X. I usually only use X now to hang my articles. I don't hook and jab and jabber on X anymore. It's just too much toxicity and drama. But it's at Real S. Keschel. SKeschel.substack.com is the place to find me. And I would appreciate your support of my work as well.
Absolutely, gang. I'm a subscriber on Substack. You'll definitely want to subscribe. Click on the link below. Seth, seriously, he was one of the most accurate predictions in 2024 of anyone out there. So you're going to want to follow his work to keep up with his analysis on the upcoming midterms. I know I will be, and I urge you as well. Click on that link below. You will not be disappointed. Seth, you're the best, man. Let's have you back on real soon.
I appreciate you, Dr. Steve, and all the best to your team, and I'll see you shortly.
Absolutely. God bless, brother. Thank you.